You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and today I am actually flying solo because, unfortunately, Carlos is still feeling a little bit under the weather and actually missed the event because he fell asleep. The event we're talking about today, obviously, is UFC 242 coming from Abu Dhabi.
Good! Bad!
Okay, I'm Matt Willis, and this is Graham Bagshaw. Welcome, you kid.
What am I supposed to do? You just introduced me. This should be the trailer. This is it. Listen to us Fridays on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. That's it. That's going. Send it out right now.
We're out of here.
Quickly running through the early prelims. We started with Don Madge picking up the result. A decision against Fariz Ziam, and then Amari Akhmedov again picking up the decision against Zach Cummins. The first finish of the night was Muslim Sakilov. He KO'd Nordin Taleb in the first, and then we got a third round submission by Belil Muhammad, who subbed out Takashi Sato. Going into the main prelims, we started with Otman Azatea. He got the first round KO against Teemu Pakalen. And then we had Sarah Meraz, who got a KO in the third round against Liana Jujor. We had a draw, very interesting, Zubaira Tugugov drawing with Leron Murphy. And then the last and the featured prelim, we had Scotland's own Joanne Calderwood picking up the decision against Andrea Lee.
Hey, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And we host a gaming podcast. You can listen to us every other Saturday, where we bring you all the latest gaming news and our review of the week.
Our backlog includes Mass Effect, Metal Gear Solid, Kingdom Hearts 3, Far Cry New Dawn, and many more games.
Check us out every other Saturday on Visionaries Wrestling Network. And as always, we're out of here.
Going on to this main card. Five fights on this main card. Four of them actually in the lightweight division. I started in the lightweight division with Marbek Tazimov taking on Carlos Diego Ferrara. This was almost like a fight of two halves, really. We started with Tazimov really strong on the feet and landing some big shots, but he didn't really land any combinations. But in the first round, Ferrara seemed very, very nervy in that. Really took his time finding his range and his and how he wanted the fight to progress. Coming out into the second round, and you can tell that he learnt a lot from that first round. Totally different kind of fight, and he really took it to Tazimov. Tazimov again was picking off the heavy shots, but only like one at a time, whereas Ferrara was coming with some really good combinations and ended up cutting Tazimov above the nose. Same kind of thing into the third round, where it was just a very dominant display by Ferrara, really showing his class in his combinations and throwing a good range of different kinds of shots and head kicks, whereas Tazimov just really struggled to find his game. The result ended up being a well-earned decision for Ferreira. Then going into the only non-lightweight match on the main card was Curtis Blades taking on Shamil Abdurakhimov. Seemed like a lot of bad blood going into this fight, but Curtis Blades really showing why he's in the top echelon of this heavyweight division. Totally dominated this fight from start to finish, absolutely brutalised Shamil on the ground with shots, but then also showed his class in wrestling. Really did well to take down and keep Shamil down, almost to a point where we thought at the end of the first round that the Blades had won and the ref had stopped it, but it was actually the whistle for the end of the round. Coming into the second, and it was just like the same kind of thing again. And I think Blades knew he wanted the finish. He knew it was there on the cards. Came out and absolutely dominated Shamil, and really, like I said, showed his class in this division. So Curtis Blades picking up the KO victory. Then going into probably one of the more interesting fights on this card, we have Davy Hamoz, who is mainly known for his striking, but he was almost goading Islam Makhachev into taking him down, especially in like the pre-fight talk. He was saying he wanted Makhachev to take him down. Now, when it came to the takedowns, Makhachev, obviously with his elite level Dagestani kind of ground game, really did dominate, but he also kind of dominated on the feet as well. There wasn't really a lot in this fight, but almost every round there was enough from Makhachev to show that he deserved the victory, and he ended up getting the decision victory. But it kind of shows that once you start climbing the division in this lightweight and the fighters get tougher and tougher, you can almost see where the talent kind of levels out, and Davy Hamoz was keeping pace with Makhachev, but yet not able to just like match him, if you can understand what I mean. But Islam picking up the victory and instantly calling out the winner of the next fight, whoever that would be, Barbosa versus Felder. We've spoke many, many times about this upcoming fight. Both of these are two of my very favourite fighters in this division and in the UFC in general. The first fight was an absolute classic. They became very, very good friends after that and even became training partners, and both have stated their ambition to fight each other, and both said it was almost an inevitability that they would fight each other. Edson Barbosa, obviously elite level at kicks, both to the head and to the leg. And Paul Felder, whilst not so much elite level in anything really, a very, very good all-round technical fighter. But the first round was kind of all Barbosa, really. Them leg kicks were brutal. Paul tried to give back as much as he could, as much as he was given. But Barbosa, obviously, is not the kind of person who you go leg kick for leg kick with. The first round was kind of marred a little bit by a very accidental clash of heads which cut Paul Felder in his hairline, and then the blood started streaming down his face. Paul Felder, very intelligently, made it like verbally known that it was the headbutt that caused the cut. The ref obviously pausing the action so a doctor could come and check. The fight carried on, which I was actually quite surprised at, because the blood was literally pouring straight into Paul Felder's eyes. And then that first round, it was more of the same, really, from Barbosa, where Barbosa was hitting with the more dynamic and accurate shots, and Paul Felder was struggling to kind of keep up with him. Coming into the second, and Barbosa actually went for a takedown, which is quite surprising, really, knowing how good he is as a striker. And this is where Paul Felder really, really impressed me, because whilst on his back, he was landing some vicious, vicious elbows and actually ended up cutting Barbosa above the eye. The elbows were just absolutely brutal, and they led to Paul Felder getting the chance to attempt an armbar, which Barbosa escaped by picking Felder up and attempting a slam. But Felder, the wily veteran, let go of the armbar enough that he could like basically counteract the power of the slam. Again, once they got back to the feet, it was a very tit-for-tat kind of round, where Felder and Barbosa were both landing shots. I felt that Barbosa still won this round, and I felt that it was going into the final round two rounds up. Going into the third round, Paul Felder showing absolute class and really standing well with Barbosa, really like giving him as good as he got. And then it comes to the decision. Everybody was expecting a Barbosa win. Even Paul Felder was really expecting a Barbosa win. But strangely enough, the judges gave the decision to Paul Felder. I kind of can't see where that decision has come from. I would have given that decision to Barbosa at least 2-1. But on one of the cards, one of the judges actually gave all 3 rounds to Paul Felder, which I think was absolute insanity. But the good thing is that it's the victory back for Paul Felder after he lost the original fight with Barbosa, and it's the potential's there for the trilogy. But as we'll speak about later, I think I've got other plans in mind for Paul Felder. And then we get on to the main event, Khabib Nurmagomedov, the current and undisputed lightweight champion, taking on the pretender to the throne, the interim champion, Dustin Poirier. Now, I've made it very, very clear that I don't believe that Dustin Poirier is championship quality. I believe that he was just literally the right person in the right place at the right time, taking on a much smaller opponent in Max Holloway to get this interim title. And when the fight with Khabib was coming, I expected Khabib's class to shine through. And from minute one of the first fight, this class did shine through. Khabib absolutely bullied Poirier in the first round, hitting him with shots. I mean, obviously, we all know that Poirier is good with his hands. He's got very accurate and heavy shots. But Khabib's ground game is damn near untouchable. And he took Dustin Poirier down and absolutely mauled him on the floor. Many, many times in that first round alone, I think there was three out of four takedowns that Khabib was successful in. He went for lots and lots of rear naked chokes where Dustin was just lucky enough to move his head out of position just in time, so it was almost cranking on his jawbone rather than underneath his neck. After the first bell, which the bell saved Poirier in the first round, Khabib stood there and as Khabib does, he gave a little bit of verbal to Poirier. The weird thing in that first round was that Poirier was being wrestled in the corner of his own team, and his team was shouting instructions at him, and he was totally ignoring it. Now, whether it was a case of him ignoring his corner or just he had no answer to Khabib's offense, that's the debate, really. Coming into the second round, same kind of thing again. Khabib, again, totally dominant on the ground, taking Poirier down almost at will, getting back control, front control, however he wanted. Poirier attempted to circle out of trouble, and ever the skillful wrestling wizard that he is, Khabib managed to basically almost backflip and spin and get hold of Dustin Poirier's back again. It was another round where Dustin was pretty lucky, really, to come out of the round unscathed. But once he went to his corner in that second round, he looked absolutely worn out. He looked like he didn't have an answer for Khabib's game plan, and he just looked like a little boy lost. Coming into the third round, and this is where we get to basically the end, Poirier knew he had to do something to win this fight, and he started throwing some big shots, and a couple of them actually landed, which kind of rattled Khabib, sending Khabib basically backtracking. He was able to kind of regroup his thoughts and go back to what was winning him the fight, which was the wrestling. He attempted a double leg takedown and was successful with it, but Poirier kept hold of Khabib's head and actually locked in a lovely tight guillotine. At first it looked like he wasn't fully locked in, but he kind of cinched his arm, and you could see that the guillotine was locked in. But Khabib's wrestling, like I said, is another world elite, and he was able to just control the situation, control his breathing, circled his hips out of the way, turned his head to get that space to breathe. Eventually, he pulled his head and neck out, and you could tell that was the red rag to a bull, and that had pissed off the eagle. He then, within seconds, had Poirier's back. Poirier, again, was quite lucky with his head movement and was getting caught with a lock on the jaw rather than the rear naked choke underneath the chin. But then, for some weird reason, he stuck his chin right out, and Khabib smelt that blood in the water, slid his arm under the chin, and just gripped hold for dear life, like the little octopus that he is, absolutely cinched in the lock. And Poirier knew that he basically used up his time and tapped before there could be some major damage. So the reigning, defending, and still undisputed UFC lightweight champion, now actually 28-0, which is unreal, absolutely unreal. Great victory for Khabib, and wow, what a champion.
A bump, James, is when you just literally advertise the show.
Okay, well, our show.
Yeah, our show, yes.
Okay.
What you talk about with, you know? Show out once a month, usually the first Sunday of a month, on Vision Vista Network.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that'll do.
Let's just look at some of these fights and see where we'd like to see. Well, I say we, but Carlos obviously, like I said, isn't here. So let's see where I'd like to see some of these fighters go in the near future. We'll start with Curtis Blaydes. Coming into the fight, he was ranked 4, taking on a ranked 9, Shamil Abdurakhmiov. It's quite a logjam in that division, unfortunately, especially for Curtis Blaydes, because you've got the likes of Stipe as the champion, but then you've got Cormier, who could possibly be getting a rematch. But then you've also got Francis Ngannou sniffing at the top of that division. So there's not a lot of places where Curtis Blaydes can go, especially knowing that he's lost twice already to Francis Ngannou. For me, I'd like to see Curtis Blaydes taking on Daniel Cormier and then leaving Francis Ngannou to take on Stipe Miocic. So that would be my pick for Curtis Blaydes. Looking at Islam Makhachev, he was coming in just outside the top 10. Again, David Hamos wasn't higher ranked than him, so I don't think that really affects how he looks in the standings, but he is also on an 8-1 win streak, so rather than him take on the winner of the Felder Barbosa fight like he asked, I'd actually put him against the loser of the fight. I'd put him against Edson Barbosa and see how his wrestling can combat Barbosa's elite level striking. Going into that co-main event, obviously we have Paul Felder picking up the very surprise victory, and again I think this pushes him into championship fight contention. Now, just like in the heavyweight division, there is a little bit of a logjam here, because we've had Tony Ferguson waiting in the wings for what seems like an eternity in the lightweight division. That's the fight everybody wants to see, is Ferguson versus Khabib. Ferguson, for some reason, kind of can't make that fight. I'd be happy for Paul Felder to slip into that position. Other than that, I'd like to see Paul Felder taking on Justin Gaethje, to be quite fair, or even the loser of the main event. I'd like to see Paul Felder put one on Dustin Poirier. Going into the main event, Khabib, there's only really two fights I can see there that make any sense. The first one, obviously, is the Tony Ferguson fight. It's the fight that everybody wants in this division. It's the fight that it should really happen, but again, failing Tony Ferguson making the fight, which is quite a possibility, knowing his history of making fights, I'd be more than happy for Paul Felder to slide into that position. Paul Felder versus Khabib would be a really fun fight for me to watch.
This is Chad from View from the Top Rope. You really enjoy people punching and kicking the crap out of each other? Well, you've tuned into the right place, because you're listening to the 5-Round Spot, exclusively on the Visionaries Wrestling Network.
So let's look into next week's event. We're back in America next week. So, I think we're in Canada next week, but still the same kind of time frame for me and Carlos. An early Sunday morning fight card for us. Quite a lot of prelim fights with some decent name fighters as well. I mean, you've got the likes of Cole Smith fighting Miles Jones, you've got Marcin Tybura taking on Augusto Sakar, and you've got Louis Smolka fighting Ryan McDonald, and so a really interesting prelim card. But then going on to this main card, you've got the likes of Misha Kirkinov taking on Jim Crute. You've got Antonio Carlos Jr. taking on Uriah Hall, the fight that me and Carlos predicted a few weeks ago. You've got Michelle Pereira taking on Sergey Condozo. You've got heavyweight Todd Duffy taking on Jeff Hughes. You've got Glover Teixeira taking on Nikita Krylov. And then in the main event, you've got Donald Cowboy Cerrone taking on Justin Gaethje. What a great fight. And again, that would only intensify that logjam at the top of the lightweight division, because you've got Cerrone who's ranked 3, and then you've got Gaethje who's ranked 4. So you've got in that top 5, if you take out Dustin Poirier, who I don't really think is a top 5 fighter, I think everyone in that top 5 handily beats Dustin Poirier. But you've got the likes of Khabib, Ferguson, Cerrone, Gaethje and Felder all vying for position in the top of that division. So very interesting times coming up in the lightweight division. Anyway, it's only a short one today because you haven't had to listen to Carlos's ramblings about the event, but I'm sure he will be back with a vengeance next week. Get well soon, Carlos. Thank you for listening, and this is the end. Adios, amigos.
You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network. Envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.